We're going to read verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. That is, it went to the Jew first. They have first priority because the Lord Jesus came through the tribe, through the nation of Israel, and also to the Greek. There is no difference. Beautiful text. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. May the Lord cause this text tonight to be an illumination into some dark heart. I don't mean now that you're going to see a light go on brighter than these lights. Don't look for lights. You likely see the wrong color. Many people do that. But let me tell you, friend, if it ever dawns into your dark heart tonight, the truth that's contained in this little text, it will be like a light going on, let me tell you. You'll see what you never saw before. It will become clear to you, your dark friend. I know by experience, I was dark in my sin. Thank God for the precious light of the truth that dawned into my darkened heart as I sat alone on the side of my bed, brokenhearted when I discovered I'm going to hell and I can't stop myself. I don't know how to get saved. Romans 5 and 6, it just came to me as I never saw it before, friend. I've repeated it many times in Sunday school. Learned it as a little boy. I remember my daddy taught us, my father taught us 3 5-word texts before we ever went to school, and that was one of them. Christ died for the ungodly. And that took in Jim Smith that Sunday night. And I tell you, friend, for the first time in my life, I saw in the Lord Jesus what I never saw before, my salvation. May God help you to see it tonight. Romans 6, 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There are many precious truths and many factors in this verse that are very beautiful. You look at the apostle, the speaker, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I am not ashamed. My, you could tell the story of Paul. It's a beautiful story to tell. Nice to have a story to tell, friend. It isn't whether it takes a long time or not. I could tell you how I got saved in one sentence. You don't need a half an hour to tell that. Not at all. God saved this poor sinner on the way to hell by giving me to see for the first time the work of Christ is all I needed. And thank God I took him at his word, and I have it tonight. May I ask you, do you have a story to tell like that, friend? That you were lost and God gave you the great assurance of eternal salvation from his precious word. That's where God causes the light to shine from, the truth of the scripture. But I do not want to speak about Paul tonight. I want you to notice the word power that's in this text. It is the power of God. I fear, and I say this, my brother and I have talked about many things during these meetings concerning the gospel and concerning our beloved Savior and concerning even today talking about the gospel together. And it's a tremendous burden as we realize that the older we get, the harder it seems to be for the gospel to take effect upon people's minds and hearts. There were times now, Mr. Hull, as you realize, is a little bit younger than I am, and we both of us have had experience in tent meetings and gospel meetings for many years. And there are times, I can tell you, where people filled the tent and stood outside. And now you can't get a dozen to come into the tent. There were times when gospel halls like this had 50, 60, 80 people brought in by believers to hear the gospel. And now you can hardly get a dozen. No, I'm not blaming the Christians for that. Don't misunderstand me. The gospel is the same. God's people's hearts desire to see people get saved. But there's power out there that's stopping you getting Christ. And it takes the power of the gospel to annul that. Break its bond. Break into your heart. Get beyond its barriers. The power of God is the only answer. I trust tonight that the Word of God will in its own inherent power be to you, friend, what you need tonight. And can I say to you kindly, don't take it lightly. Don't sit fooling with the gospel. You are encased in a tremendously spiritual power which is infernal, satanic in its nature, and horrible in its outcome. And God grant you to see tonight. And if you've never known it before, friend, I hope it will be your experience as we look at the truth contained in this text, that you will get down to business to lift your eyes to heaven and cry to God for mercy, lest the power of evil take you down into the eternal pit. It's a reality, friend, that we're dealing with power that is beyond men. It is supernatural. It is satanic. And thank God for the power of the gospel which delivers men from the kingdom and power of the wicked one. I hope tonight that if never before in your experience, young man, young woman, dear father, dear mother, you will face the realities of what the gospel is dealing with, the tremendous need of divine power to come into your life, or you will perish in the awfulness of the power of sin forever and forever. The first thing I want you to notice in this text is the power of the gospel's center. And the center of the gospel is the gospel of Christ. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what is in our little text. When dear Paul the Apostle is speaking about the gospel writing to the Corinthians, he reminds those dear believers who heard the gospel when they were in idolatry and shame. None of you have ever lived like those dear people lived. One would not bother describing the shamefulness and the debauchery of the gutter in which they lived. But when Paul the Apostle preached on their street corners and preached Christ, the power of Christ, preached the realities of His person, preached the deity of that Blessed One, and preached the power of the work of His death and His sufferings for sin at Calvary, the power of that gospel reached those darkened minds. And dear Paul reminds us, he says, we're doing battle. Not against flesh and blood. It's not my wits with yours that count. It's not me being smarter than you or you smarter than me to outwit me, friend. That's not what we're dealing with. But, says the apostle, we're dealing with powers. Powers, he calls them. He calls them authority. Spiritual powers in the heavens, dealing with the minds of men, casing them with the awful subtlety of lies and satisfaction with self-righteousness and prejudices and pride and whatever tool the devil may be pleased to use. He's a master at it. He's used it for 6,000 years plus, and he's won every time. And the only thing that can counter it, power of Christ. The power of the gospel center. May I note with you, friend, how much you need the Lord Jesus? Do you recall in His life? Actually, it's one of the reasons we have the four gospels, you know, is to show the deity of the person that went to Calvary. That's why His work was so successful. That's why He overcame the wicked one. And that's what you need. It's not an experience you need. It's not some happy feeling you need. You need Christ to save you, to deliver you with His mighty power. You recall when He fell asleep one occasion in a boat, and a storm raged upon that sea. That storm came from the devil. He has power over the elements, you know. The devil has. The Bible says so. He has power in the elements of earth. Amazing. And it's all because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. He gave him that liberty. It should have been Adam's, but he forfeited it, gave it to the devil. What an awful bargain he made. My friend tonight, may I say to you in this gospel meeting, some of you are raised in homes where you were cradled with Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But you were born into a realm of the wicked one, born in sin. You need the power of the Lord Jesus. He stood upon the boat that day, and he spake to the wind, and he spake to the sea, and there was a great calm. That's the power, friend. That's the man of power that you need in your life. My dear friend, young and old, it's the power of that blessed man that you need in your soul, or you will never be delivered from the awful realities of sin and Satan and an eternity of eternal darkness. God help you to see it, face it tonight. Look at the reality of what your need is, the awfulness of satanic power that rules in the souls of men, young or old, who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the power of Christ. But how can I point you again to another episode in the life of our blessed Lord when he was here? Take a good look at him, friends, the one you need tonight. You need to cry to heaven. That's why you find three times in the Bible calling upon God. Sinners calling upon God. God is the one you need, friend. The power of Christ, the one who had power over the wicked one. There was the occasion in the life of the Lord Jesus when he had power over death. Think of it, friend. That's power. He spake to the dead and they rose. That's authority. And that's the dynamite that you need in your life. That's really the word for power here. I'm sure you probably are aware. It's not the power of a firecracker. This is the power of the dynamite of heaven. Amazing. Oh, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. In all his mighty power, the word of his power, the touch of his power, the look of his power. Amazing. Friend, the gospel center is the Lord Jesus, and you need the power of Christ to save your soul. But I want to point you yonder to Calvary tonight for a moment, friend. I don't suppose you've ever pondered before the power expressed at Calvary, the authority of the Lord Jesus. I know you've never considered it if you've never had a broken heart concerning the cross. If the tear has not stained your face and the cry for mercy from heaven to save your soul, you've seen no value yet in the cross. But oh, the power of Christ that's seen at the cross. My friend, not a human hand could ever have taken that Holy One. He had already passed out from amongst them once. They wanted to push him over the brow of the hill. He walked away untouched. They could not touch him. Another occasion, they even wanted to take him and make him a king. They couldn't do it. He went away from them. He had not come to be a king. He had come into the world to become the Savior of lost sinners in the kingdom of Satan. The power of Christ. And on Calvary's cross, he not only controlled everything that happened to his holy person. Friend, it was not an accident. The Lord Jesus was not suffering there as a martyr. He was suffering as the sinner's substitute, the Savior of the lost. He stepped into the breach. He became accountable to God, the only one that could have gone into the deep darkness of Calvary with its awful roarings of suffering. When he cried until he could weep no more, when he was laid in the lowest pit, look at him go down, friend, into the lowest pit of the darkness of Calvary. He's going down. Why is he going down? Because of the power of sin. And the only way it can be broken is for the Lord Jesus to go down into the awful realities of the darkness of abandonment because of sin. Marvelous, glorious power. After 3 hours, he emerged untouched. The power of Christ. Ah, friend, that's the one you need tonight. The only one that can break the power of sin. The only one that can break the power of darkness. The only one that could enter into death. And our blessed Lord Jesus did not die because he couldn't suffer anymore. He took on death that day to break its power, blessed Savior. And friend, that's the one you need tonight. The power of the gospel, says Paul, is the gospel of Christ. He, my friend, is the answer to sin's power tonight. The only one that can break the chains that bind you. The only one that can deliver your soul from the subtle, wicked, powerful kingdom of the devil. The only one that can deliver you from the eternal darkness of being forsaken and alone in sin forever and ever. The power of Christ. Wonderful Savior. Not only does God commend them to you tonight, friend, but you need him tonight. You need him. The awful reality of the power of sin and death that awaits you, all the defeat of a soul. Friend, it ought to make us weep when we look at the faces of men and they come near to the portals of eternity to slip away into the clutches of death. With its sting, oh, the sting of death, the power of quenching every hope of love and of mercy and of hope forever, gone in the power of death. What would it have been like for you, friend? Face it tonight. You need the power of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your soul tonight. I hope that you, ere you go to your bed, oh God, grant that even as you sit quietly on that chair tonight, you may lift your heart to heaven, God of mercy on me. You need it, friend. You need his power to come into your life. So often, people think that getting salvation, you know, is like a mathematical equation. And if the preacher would just say a little bit more, and I'll add it together, and then I'll finally come up with the sum. Not at all, friend. Not at all. That breaks no power. You need Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus. He's the center of the power of the gospel. It's in his hand tonight. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Emancipating power. Beautiful. Look at the Lord Jesus on Calvary as he gives to that thief on his right hand the assurance that his soul is saved from judgment he rightly deserves. Friend, only the Lord Jesus has power to break those bonds. And my friend, is the Lord Jesus that has power to change lives. When a man gets Christ as his Savior, he's never the same afterward, nor does he ever want to be what he was before. Who would ever want to be what I was? I was only a boy when God saved me, but I'd like to tell you, I wouldn't want to be now that I'm as old as I am. I wouldn't want to be as I was then when I was 9 years of age. You say you were a rascal? No, that isn't the point. I was dark. I was fearful. I was lost on the road to hell. Thank God I have Christ tonight. My friend, tonight, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? The center of the power of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Watch him, friend, when he comes out of the grave. He's the one you need. Death didn't even leave a smell on him. Not one, not a hair of his head was missing. Out from death he stepped in the power of a resurrection body. That's the power, friend. That's the man you need tonight. The man of Calvary, who settled the sin question with triumph, who entered into death and broke its power with triumph and victory. Wonderful Savior, that's the man we're presenting to you tonight. He alone can break the power of Satan that surrounds you. The Bible describes man, all of us by birth, as being goods in a palace that's kept with subtlety and kept with armaments. And the Lord Jesus describes that as the wicked one, and the armament are his lies. And he calls it the lie, and he calls that wicked one the lie. He's the author of all the deceptions of men's minds. It's a deception to think, friend, you're going to get salvation in an easy fashion. You've got to get down to business with God, or you'll never get it, never be real, until you face the reality of the power of Christ that you need in your life. Ah, but the power of salvation. We mentioned in our passage, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Marvelous statement. That means, my friend, yes, to be saved presently from the guilt of one's history of sin. It means to be saved from the penalty of that sin forever. But it means far more. My, the wonder of stepping into heaven if the Lord Jesus were to come tonight. That blessed one that went to the cross in all his power and overcame every foe of this poor sinner. My, I love him tonight, friend. I've told you before, I'll tell you again because I love to tell you. I have in the front leaf of my Bible, this man's sins crucified the Son of God. That touches my heart. When I think of him stooping to Calvary, I think of the mighty work that he accomplished when he suffered in this guilty sinner's stead. Wonderful Savior, all that I need, I couldn't do without him. The power of Christ, the power unto salvation. There's a day coming when this poor soul's going to step into heaven. I can't wait for it. I say that thoughtfully, and there's always tugging at my coat loved ones that are in their sins. And as I look into your face, friend, you tug on the other side. I tell you truthfully, God has helped us to love your soul, and we want to see you saved. That's why we're here. If you would only face the reality, stop this nonsense of fiddling around with God's salvation and thinking somehow you're going to slip through the door. If you don't make one valiant effort, you will be eternally lost. The power of Satan will determine it, and the power of your sin. It's time you face the reality of salvation even tonight. The power of salvation that will lift sinners away from sin and away from the presence of it. Never, never to weep again. Never to groan. Never to feel the touch of sin. Marvelous salvation. Furthermore, to outfit us with a new body, to serve our Savior forever and ever. That's the salvation, right unto the day of the revelation of Christ, and then for the day of God, the great eternity, unchanging, unending. Sinners in this audience who have come to know Christ as their Savior will know the power of that great salvation unto eternal ages. Can't be lost. Never be diminished. Never lose it. Oh, friend, how do you live in your sin without Christ? How do you continue groping in the darkness of the comfort of a subtle evil deception on the way down to an eternal woe that will never release you? You need the power of God unto salvation. But as I sit down, can I note with you the power of this gospel that is mentioned in this passage in the scope of it. Thank God for the scope of this power. Ah, listen to my text, friend. It's intended to embrace you. God wants you to see your need of it. Cry out for it tonight, that you may, in all honesty, in all your helplessness, you may know the power of the center of that gospel, the Lord Jesus, unto salvation. What is the scope of it? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know what that is saying? There are no distinctions with God. No distinctions. He isn't asking you to come to a certain condition in order to get it. He knows your condition, and he knows you need it. There's no power can deliver you but the power of the gospel. You see, it isn't the process. It isn't the condition you need. You're already in the condition that needs it. But the scope of it is, whosoever, that's the beautiful language, everyone, down this side of the hall, everyone, Thank God, is potential for God's salvation. Everyone. The gospel we preach to you, friend, of the Lord Jesus, everyone that believeth. Oh, friend, I wonder. You know, I love that word, believe. John, in his gospel, he illustrates that word so graphically. I love in chapter 3 of John's gospel, beautiful chapter we love to preach from, John 3:16, over my head here tonight. Look at it, friend. You get all mixed up in the believing, don't you? And you think that somehow you have to produce it. How can you produce it when you're in the wrong kingdom? How can you produce it when you have the wrong nature? How can you produce it, friend? The best you could ever bring out would be defiled because of where it comes from. You cannot. You are lost, hopelessly lost, and you need the power of God to step in. That's what you require tonight. If you're ever going to rejoice and be able to sing, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And I'll tell you, friend, if you ever get it, you'll sing it. And we'll be glad to sing it with you. God grant that this night you may see the scope of that great power. He that believeth. The first illustration the Lord Jesus gives in John chapter 3 is about the wind. He says it's a divine work of the Spirit. A divine work. You see, you can't see the wind. You can't tell the wind what to do or what not to do. All you can see is the effect of it. You know where you don't know where it's coming from. And you can see which way it's blowing, its direction. And my friend, God's salvation, believing very simply, is that it is a sovereign gift. That's what God wants you to see. While the Holy Spirit's moving, my friend, that's the Spirit of God that touches your conscience and has put any desire in your heart tonight to be saved. That's the time to respond. That's what it is. It's response to the wind. That's what the Savior said. You can feel it. You recognize it's there. It's responding to it. Don't try to tell it what to do, because you can't, and you won't get anywhere. The second illustration the Lord Jesus gives is in verse 14 of Moses basing the serpent on a pole for snake-bitten people that were dying. He says, look. Look and you'll live. Who would ever look at a copper serpent on a pole? And you'd say, that's folly, wouldn't you? When God says it, you look. And my friend, tonight, look back to Calvary. God shows you a powerful Savior, suffering for sin, breaking its bonds, paying its debt, going into death to break its power. Wonderful Savior. That's the one you need tonight. And when you look, that's believing. I like the last illustration in verse 35. He tells it concerning his own Father. He says, the Father loveth the Son and hath put all things into his hand. He trusted him. And he just put everything into his hand because he knew he would and could fulfill what he desired. Friend, tonight that's what God is looking for helpless sinners to do. Put their case in his hand. The man of Calvary. The risen one. And the moment you let go of all your own feelings and all your own preconceived notions, and come as a sinner and place your case in his hand, you'll be saved because God says so. God grant you may see it tonight. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God grant you to turn in your need tonight. Cry for mercy, friend. It's Christ you need and his holy power to deliver your poor benighted soul that you might be saved tonight.